You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Friday, April 22nd. We're talking Cardinals baseball today with Cardinals reporter Jennifer Langosch. And Jennifer, thank you for the time as always on this Friday. And the Cardinals just wrapped up their nine-game homestand with a mark of 5-4, culminating with dropping 2-3 to the arch-rival Cubbies. And let's talk about the 5-3 win on Wednesday to avoid being swept in that set. Carlos Martinez, a guy that we sing his praises every week on this podcast, he was terrific once again. 7 innings, 1 run, just 3 hits given up. And, you know, Jennifer, it's one thing to pitch well when the team is on a winning streak, but it's something else completely to go out there and perform when your team is in danger of being swept at home by a hated rival like the Cubs are. That was the scenario that the Cardinals were in as Martinez took the mound. So in terms of developing this guy into the ace that everybody believes he can be, how important was this game and this performance under these circumstances to get him to that point?
Yeah, I mean, he was the stopper for this rotation. He was the stopper that Jaime Garcia couldn't be the night before, that Adam Wainwright hasn't been yet this season. You mentioned Carlos Martinez as a future ace. I think we have to wonder if he is a budding ace in 2016. And that's not to say that he's necessarily going to leapfrog Adam Wainwright this season and take that top post. But in terms of pure stuff and ability and ceiling, I don't think there's anybody with a higher pedigree than Carlos Martinez. So, yeah, a very important win for the Cardinals, who, you know, coming into that last game of the series, were 0-5 this year against the Pirates and the Cubs. I mean, it's one thing to beat up on the Brewers, the Reds, and the Braves, but good teams should beat those clubs. But to see where the Cardinals want to be in the NL Central, they're going to have to take it to the Pirates and the Cubs as well. They do escape with one win over Chicago. Certainly they would have liked to have had a little more. But, yeah, strong 7-inning start from Carlos Martinez, who, now through the first 3 weeks of the season, has been the Cardinals' most consistent starter thus far.
Yeah, no question there. And this is going to sound absurd to even bring this up, as here we are, you know, just past the middle of April, for crying out loud. But you pointed out that going into that game, the Cardinals were 0-5 combined against the Cubs and the Pirates. And I'm not going to say, oh, my goodness, it's a must win or else we all have to panic. But given the numbers and given the circumstance, was there a little more of an urgency to finally get that win and avoid the sweep?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was. You know, Mike Mussini and the Cardinals won't acknowledge as much. I mean, they're very much consistent with the message of this game is as important as the game yesterday and the game that we'll play tomorrow. So they don't want to put anything more on it than it already is. But that being said, yeah, I mean, to be swept by the Cubs would have certainly been a downer. Not to mention, I mean, this is a club that is tired of hearing about the Chicago Cubs. They're asked so many questions about the Cubs. They read all the national media about the Cubs. And at some point, if you want that to stop, you're going to have to go out and beat the Cubs. So had the Cubs come in here and swept St. Louis, I mean, it certainly would have just added fuel to the fire to kind of that glamorous national storyline that Chicago has had thus far. But, yeah, the Cardinals are going to have to prove themselves on the field. Again, they still believe that they're the team to beat in the NL Central, but if you're not able to beat the Pirates and the Cubs, then you're not going to get to where you want to be at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely agree on that. Very important win for the Cardinals on Wednesday to avoid the three-game sweep at the hands of the Cubs, thanks to one Mr. Carlos Martinez. Now, Jennifer, of course, the Cardinals dropping the first two games of the series, and the biggest reason why they dropped the opener, the former Cardinal, John Lackey, he was sensational. 7 scoreless, 11 Ks, just one off his career high. Jennifer, in getting to know him over the last year and a half as he played for the Cardinals, do you think he had some additional adrenaline going through his veins, considering that, you know, he had what you could call a career year last year for the Cardinals? They still let him go. What do you think his mindset was going into that?
Yeah, I mean, John Lackey, of all the people that I have covered in this game over the last decade, I mean, John Lackey is among the most fiercest competitors that I have gotten to watch and to talk to on a regular basis here. So, yeah, I'm certain that there was something a little bit extra for him coming to Busch Stadium. You know, what we saw of him here this week was no different than what we saw of him last year. I mean, he made 17 starts at home, which is Busch Stadium, last year, all 17 of which were quality starts. And so he just threw number 18 up there against his former team. So, yeah, I mean, I think there was a little bit added for him. I think there was a little bit added for Jason Hayward, who, even though he didn't have a great offensive series, contributed multiple times in the field, throwing out a runner at home plate, making some diving catches. So these are two guys who you could argue were among the most valuable for the Cardinals last year. John Lackey leading all their pitchers in WAR, Jason Hayward leading all the Cardinals position players in WAR last year. And I think both kind of wanted to show that they still had it in, particularly Lackey, who, despite being made the qualifying offer by the Cardinals over the winter, was never approached, he said, about a multi-year extension type deal, which of course the Cubs then go out and sign him to a two-year deal. So I think he went home and slept pretty well that night after dominating his former team here in St. Louis.
I would say so. He was terrific in getting the Cubs the series opening win as Chicago went on to take 2 out of 3. You talked about both he and Jason Hayward, the former Cardinals, coming back in the hated uniforms of their arch rivals, the Chicago Cubs. From a Cardinals fan standpoint, as you're sitting there in the press box, what was the reception for both of them, and did anything surprise you about the way the fans did react to each of them?
Yeah, I mean, both were booed. Jason Hayward certainly booed much more heavily than John Lackey. And it was not surprising. I mean, I'll say this. It was surprising in that when former players come back to St. Louis, almost unanimously they are cheered and they are lauded for the contributions that they gave in the city. It's just kind of part of the way of this Cardinals fan base. I can't think back in my 5 years covering this team to a player who left this organization and then was booed upon coming back. So somewhat significant just the receptions that they got. And again, given that the years that they both had and what they meant to that 100-win team last year. That being said, I mean, I think for Jason Hayward, kind of the venom is threefold. I mean, obviously it's him spurring the Cardinals and taking, you know, looking at their $200 million offer and saying, no, thank you. I think that was part of it. Part of it certainly was that he ended up in Chicago with the Northsiders. I mean, that added a little bit of a sting. And then I think on top of that, the comments that he made upon departing and that, you know, he didn't see the Cardinals as the best long-term fit for him because he didn't want to join an aging core, obviously, of Holiday, Wainwright, and Molina. So I think all three of those combined added a little bit to the reception that he got. I did think it was funny that after that first game, John Lackey said, you know, that's not booing. I've seen booing, and that ain't booing, to put it in his words. So I guess they've heard worse elsewhere, but it was an interesting reception here at Busch Stadium.
And, you know, from your perspective, having covered this team now for a number of years, do you enjoy this? That I know Cardinals fans, you know, have that well-deserved reputation. Like you said, it's rare, you know, if a former player, ever comes back and gets booed. But now it seems like there's this extra edge to this rivalry, which has been a rivalry for, you know, so many years now. But are you enjoying seeing that maybe things are getting a little nastier than they've been in previous years between these two teams?
I love it. I mean, as an objective journalist covering these two clubs and kind of looking ahead at you know, some of the matches we're going to get this year and, you know, potentially a rivalry that's just going to bud in years to come, I think it's awesome. I do would tell you that I think there is a palpable sense of tension and anxiousness here among Cardinal fans. You do worry that for the first time in a very, very long time, the Cubs are for real, that this is not a joke, that all this national hype that they're you know, receiving is pretty justified, not just by what they did last year, but by the core that they have, the young players they have coming up, and by who they added during the offseason. So, you know, Cardinal fans here have been spoiled, and hopefully they would acknowledge as much over the last 15 years with the product that they've had on the field. And that's not to say that that's going to change. I mean, I think this Cardinals team is set up to be competitive for a long time. But to have those Cubs, those hated Cubs, right there as valiant kind of foes for you for the first time in a long time, yeah, it adds something very unique to this. And even though this was a mid-April series, and we usually don't put a lot of stock in what happens in games in April, there was something added here when the Cubs showed up at Busch Stadium this past week.
And I'm sure Cardinals fans did not appreciate waking up this morning and hearing, hey, did you hear what Jake Arrieta did last night? I'm sure that did not go over very well in many homes of Cardinals fans this morning. So another reason right there to have some animosity towards their rivals from Chicago. The Cubs off to a great start. The Cardinals kind of middle of the pack right now with the other four teams in the NL Central. And, Jennifer, I think a big reason why is that fielding errors right now have been an issue. Entering tonight, the Cardinals are tied with the Padres for the most errors in baseball, 15 in 15 games. Now the Cards and Padres play each other this weekend, so I don't think we should be expecting a defensive clinic or anything. But how surprising are these struggles in the field, and how concerning should they be to Cardinals fans?
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals infield, to put it kindly, has been pretty atrocious at times this year, and it is unusual for this team. And this is a team that in recent years has been very strong defensively and really had tried to kind of build their roster upon run prevention in terms of defense. We have just seen error after error, many of them costly. I mean, I think you look at shortstop first off, that the fact that Johnny Peralta is out, I think there's a big vulnerability there. You've seen the Cardinals in 15 games already use four different starting shortstops. three of which have already committed an error. Alendis Diaz has gotten off to a terrific offensive start, but four errors in his first 29 chances at shortstop. And at some point, you have to consider whether the run production that he can provide outweighs the costliness of what's happening in the field. So I know there's a lot of questions about whether Jose Oquendo's absence has anything to do with this. I mean, certainly the Cardinals miss Jose's presence, one of the kind of the most highly regarded infield instructors in the game. Now, that being said, these are errors on balls for the most part that have been hit right to the infielders. Routine plays just not made. I think for Diaz, we've seen the game speed up on him a few times. Again, this is a kid in the first 3 weeks of his major league career. And just in general, that shortstop position, we've seen players, Jed Jerko, for example, playing there maybe at a position he's not entirely comfortable with, and that has led to some mistakes. So certainly an area of the game that the Cardinals need to clean up, particularly when you consider that they have a rotation that has some very heavy ground ball pitchers, Jaime Garcia, Mike Leake, and then when Adam Wainwright is right, he also, too, induces a lot of ground balls. So if you want to maximize what your pitchers can do, you're going to have to start making the plays behind them.
Yeah, some red flags on the infield defense for sure, and something they definitely need to correct, as you said, given the nature of their starting rotation, many ground ball pitchers in that rotation. And Jennifer, just to wrap up here, Eric Fryer, what a great story. He's literally batting 1,000, 6-for-6 on the season heading into Friday night, and why he doesn't retire now and just wait for Cooperstown to call, I don't know, but it's his life. Now, we know that Brian Peña is on the mend. He's on his way back. Is there any spot for Fryer on this team when Peña comes back to back up Molina, or is it pretty much predetermined he's going to be heading back to AAA when Peña's healthy?
Yeah, hard to tell a guy batting 1,000 that he's probably on his way out. But, you know, the Cardinals don't really seem interested in carrying three catchers, nor do they really have a reason to, as long as Brian Peña is fully healthy when he returns. So I would imagine at some point in mid-May, Eric Fryer will most likely return to AAA. That being said, the Cardinals, impressed by what he's done so far, now at least know that they have a backup to their backup catcher should they need to go and kind of use that depth later this year. Interesting. I mean, Eric Fryer from the same hometown as Mike Matheny, Reynoldsburg, Ohio, the only two major league players to ever come out of Reynoldsburg. We thought that was maybe the most interesting fact about Eric Fryer, but now 6-for-6, he has a little more to the story than just where he's from.
And one of these weeks, one of these months, he will make an out, but until that happens, we're certainly enjoying the ride. Jennifer, we appreciate the knowledge and the insight as always. Cardinals reporter Jennifer Langosch joining us. We'll do it again next week for certain. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.